Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce. Glad to be with you today. I'm doing a series, and it's Christ Our Life Ministry Scriptural Basis. This is The Liberating Secret, but The Liberating Secret is presented to you by Christ Our Life Ministries. So this is our ministry, and this is our scriptural basis. Look on the website, The Liberating Secret website, and you will see the outline of all these lessons. I actually am on lesson 14. And we talked about the blood of Jesus, one of my favorite subjects, last time. Because, you know, my children always say, Mom, because they watch me. Whenever I'm watching a Billy Graham crusade and I see people coming forward to get saved, there I am crying. So they say, there goes Mom again. Well, I can't help it. And because it's just so wonderful to know that you're a saved person. But, you know, there's more to know. And there's a deeper level of the gospel that most Christians do not know, and what I love teaching too. Basically, I go around the country teaching what happened in the body death, the second provision of provided by God for our restoration back to Him, and to know our full deliverance from what we inherited at the fall. And that's what I love teaching, basically because most people don't know how to get victory in their daily life. Most Christians they love Jesus with all their heart, but they're condemned. They hate themselves because they're condemned. And basically it's because most of us are still living under the law. And people say, well, you know, I'm a new covenant person. I'm a Christian. So I believe the gospel. But basically, they don't even know that they're still trying in their own self-effort to live the Christian life. And I've just given you the real key to why people are so defeated. And but understanding the body of Christ, the broken bread, you know, in our communion service, we always have two elements, the blood, or the grape juice, and then also the bread. It comes out in different ways, according to however you're used to celebrating that ceremony. So, but it represents something very powerful. That's why when people put so much emphasis on doing the communion, we're so outer-minded. We think what we do is what's going to justify us or what's going to keep us in good standing with God. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can redeem you, can keep you, has saved you, and empowered you to be able to live the Christian life. So just because we do outer things like we take communion, that's to remember the deeper thing that happened to us in the blood of Jesus and the bread of Jesus. And actually, Jesus says, I'm your communion service. I'm the bread. I'm the manna that comes down from heaven. He says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and then you'll have life in you. So just doing the outer act will not save you. Actually, I was thinking the other day, Judas was there when Jesus did the Last Supper. He was doing the outer act like the rest of them. It didn't save him, did it? So it's not going to save you either. Because only really understanding and putting your whole heart and trust and dependence upon Christ, the one who shed his blood and presented his body a living sacrifice to the cross and to have his life, his body broken for you, that's really what's going to deliver you, because you trust in him as being your substitute. Substitute for death, now substitute for your life. You know, he's continually going to take your place. You know, I don't know if any of you all know this little lady, Miss Bertha. She was a missionary. She lived in Cowpens, South Carolina. That's in northern South Carolina. And she became a missionary, a little Baptist lady. And she went to China and as a missionary. And it didn't take her long to realize that she didn't know how she was going to make it and stay there in her call to be a missionary there in China, because the culture was so terrible and so different, really, from her little South Carolinian home. And also, she didn't have the love for the Chinese. She could not love them. So finally, she cried out to God, and she said, is there any more to salvation that I'm not really understanding? And if there is, Lord, would you please send somebody here that can explain to me and tell me what is more to the Christian life? Somebody did come not long after that. The Lord is always faithful. All you have to do is, Lord, send somebody, and he will. Okay, so they came and they told her that she was to live the replaced life, the life that Jesus was going to replace her in this life. He replaced her. He was her substitute in death, and he's also her substitute in this life, that she didn't have to live any longer. He was going to live his life through her. Well, that so set her free that the next day when she saw the missionaries, she says, she came out with a glow on her face, and she says, God knows and the devil knows and that I have swapped lives with Jesus Christ. And she said, and I know it too. So that's what set her free, that she didn't have to live the life anymore, that Christ had come inside of her, and his indwelling spirit would live the life through her. And that's basically what we don't understand in Christianity. Well, where does it say it? Because there's a great deception in Christianity, which is the human being can live by your own understanding, your own self-effort, by your own power, by your own life. And if you live right enough times, then you're going to have right standing with God, and you're going to feel good about yourself. Well, you know, I tried that as a young Christian. Oh my goodness, I thought of everything I needed to do in order to please God. One time I thought, I'm going to wear my hair in a bun, and maybe, you know, like the missionaries do, maybe that will do it. Maybe if I wear long skirts, maybe then I can be holy and I won't feel so guilty about myself. Why did I feel guilty about myself? I didn't know my total deliverance by the body of Jesus Christ. I was still deceived, thinking that I could improve myself through self-effort and continually trying to make myself more holy, more righteous. And I tell you, that's a road, if you're on that road, that's a road that's the quickest to defeat. And the road that he wants us to be on, because if you really think you can live the Christian life by your own efforts, then God says, go ahead, I'm going to let you try real hard, because I want you to be defeated, I want you to be disillusioned and with yourself, and with your own self-power, because that's a lie, that human beings can improve themselves by their own self-effort. And guess what? The human being doesn't need improvement. We need to know that the Spirit of God lives inside of us, and he expresses his holiness through us. And guess what? We end up being holy people. Why? Because I've got a friend that lives in South Carolina. Her name is Fran Giles, and she said the only way that you can actually keep the law, the outer law, is to marry the lawyer. What she's saying is the only way that you can do, because keeping the law means that I've got all these shoulds and oughts on myself. I should do this. I ought to do this. I ought to look this way. I ought to do this. You're operating and living from an independent self, which is a lie. And you're trying to live the Christian life by your own efforts. Any of you out there that are still living that way and still depending on yourself, even though it's so subtle, it is so subtle. If we're not depending on ourselves in one way, depending on ourselves in another way, and maybe I stopped doing things that I thought my church or somebody told me to do. I stopped doing things, but still I'm trying to master through my own understanding. You see, I think that's probably the last thing that goes. You know, that's why Jesus said, unless you lose your life, you're not going to find true life. You're not going to find the life of the Spirit, the life of liberation, the life of Christ living inside of you and substituting your everyday, daily life. Now, let's start reading at Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to start with verse 9, because the book of Romans is certainly one of my favorites, and I've certainly said that enough times. But the chapters 1 through 5 really brings forth and declares that the just shall live by faith, and that you're justified by faith. That means you're right with God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. That justifies you. And that's all by faith. It's all by a leap of faith and trusting what God says to be true about you. And so you've taken the leap and you've stood on that, and now you have peace with God. Okay, that's the first step into our deliverance. Second step, then it goes on into, and it starts in chapter 5 through 8. Of course, I teach a lot, and that's basically because this is where we're all hung up. This is where we're deceived, not understanding the truth. So let's read what God says in verse 9. It says in verse 8, "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Okay, so we know that Christ died for us and we're delivered from sins. Then it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." Okay, that's what the blood does. It reconciles us back to God by the death of his son. "Much more, being reconciled, we will be saved by his life." Now, I remember the day when the Spirit brought light to that to me. I was reading it and I thought, that's talking about we're saved daily by his resurrection or his resurrected life inside of us. Oh, and you know what? Then I turned to Amplified Version, I don't know, about a year or so later, and it that's how it amplifies that in the Amplified Version, that we're saved daily by his life, not by my life, but by his life manifesting and living inside of us. So if you want daily deliverance, and that's exactly what salvation is, it's deliverance. And the second part of the gospel is that we're delivered daily by his life and not by ours. Well, what stumbles us? That stumbles us is we think we have our own life. Well, let's look at Colossians and chapter 3. And, of course, this is where we get the name of our ministry, Christ Our Life Ministries. And let's read what it says there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. "You are dead." He's talking to you, born-again person. "You are dead." You're a dead person. See, the problem with us, we still think we're alive. We think we're alive, and we have our own life, and I can live my own life, and therefore I have shoulds, and I have oughts, and I can keep the law, and I can be good for Jesus. That's our problem. The Bible does not say that. The deeper truth of the gospel is, you are dead. Now, my good friend, Dan Stone, who, there's some teachings in his books, we offer his book in our bookstore, but also his teachings are on spiritbroadcasting.net. You'll see some of his teachings. He wrote a book called The Rest of the Gospel. He's very clear at bringing this out. And he says the Church of God does not know they're dead. They're continually defeated because they simply don't know they're dead. And that is the truth. The Bible declares it right here. You are dead. You're not alive. You're dead. Now, you ask yourself, what can a dead person do? Can a dead person keep the law? Can a dead person do what it should do? Can a dead person do what it ought to do? Can a dead person sin even? No, a dead person can't even sin. A dead person can't be righteous either. You see, a dead person is dead. And the Bible declares you are dead. And your life, your true life, the life that you live by, the nature that now is in the divine nature that you live by, is hid within Christ. It's hidden inside of you in Christ. So you have to come to the end of what you think your life is so that you can find the hidden truth, which is the life of Christ, and which is in Christ, in God. So in Christ, the Son, and also in God, the Father. My goodness, that's your real life. And then it says this, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear." Now, the "who is italicized, and anybody that knows the New Testament, when there's something italicized, it's not really in the Greek. It's not in the original Greek. So we just kind of took the "who is" out of it, and that's how we came up with our name, Christ Our Life Ministries. It comes right from this scripture. "When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Well, I declare to you, children of God, so many people are always looking to the future and they're always thinking, well, when that happens, then in the future, Christ will be my life. No. Now, not that Christ is not your life in the future. He is. But this is talking about present tense living. Let's look at this verse this way. When you discover your hidden life, which is Christ within you, which is the real you, which is the real life within, when you discover that, then you shall appear with Christ in glory. Okay, what does that mean? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says that I'm seated with him in glory. So when you so identify yourself with who you really are, instead of identifying yourself with the old and still trying to keep your own, be your own self and keep your own life, as soon as you identify yourself with that, you see, then you shall appear with him. The second that you do, you are already, you can identify with him in his death. That's why you can say you're dead. You can identify yourself in his resurrection. That's why you say you have new life within, because it's his resurrected life within. Then you can identify yourself with his resurrection, with his glorification, which is his ascension. So he, because the Bible says we're seated there. So why not go all the way to the top and say, I'm already there in the heavenly, seated with Christ. The Bible says it. Let's don't make him a liar again. See, all we're doing is not making God a liar. We're making God be true. And let us be liars that have thought the opposite because Satan has deceived us for all of our life. And make God be a true truth teller. And he is telling us the truth. And so I love these verses. And that's where we got our the name of our ministry. So let's go back. Let's head back into Romans because we need to discover more of what Romans is saying. Romans is saying, let me read you verse 20 of chapter 5 in Romans, because we can see in Romans chapter 5, verse 20, what the law's purpose is, the outer law. See, when we talk about the law, we talk about outer requirements is what we're really talking about. Outer requirements of the law. Okay, outer requirements. So what are these outer requirements meant to do? Are they meant to make me more holy because I can see how I ought or I should act and then do it and act holy and do it? Or what are they for exactly? Okay, let's read in verse 20. I think you're going to get a big surprise here. Moreover, the law entered through Moses, we know that the offense might abound, that you might get more guilty. That's the purpose of the law, is to make you more guilty. What? I didn't think that Jesus didn't come to make me more guilty. No. The law was given by Moses. The law was the Old Testament. It's all a part of the Old Covenant. It's not a part of the New Covenant. It's a part of the Old Covenant. Okay? Then outer law is there to make me more guilty. Why? Prove to me that I have no power in and of myself to keep it. Basically. That's what it's there for, is to prove, to make a point to me. It's my schoolmaster. It says that in Romans chapter 3. It was my schoolmaster to prove to me that I was totally hopeless without Jesus. Because the more I tried to be a good person and tried to improve myself through self-improvement, the more I failed. So finally I had to say, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. But the law does the second work, and has to do with the second part of the restoration of the gospel, which is the body death. In the body of his flesh, he has delivered me from sins, from sin, from the nature of sin. I've been delivered from the satanic nature. Well, why do I have to know that? And if I know that, then I'm not living from some outer means by which I've got to outwardly keep an outer law to make myself right with God. You see, I can live inwardly. I can live by the Spirit. I can live by the indwelling Spirit of holiness that lives inside of me, the Spirit of liberation, because it says if you live by that Spirit of liberation, you will be liberated. If you live by your flesh means of how I can be a better person, you will die. The Bible says that. And so, the more that you try to live up to that, the more the outer law is going to shout at you and say, well, go ahead and try and see how far you get. Well, you can't. And so you end up being defeated. You end up wanting to know the rest of the gospel. Okay, here it starts in Romans 6. Declares a great thing. It declares, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in daily sins? Shall daily sins overtake us all the time? And so that grace might abound, so that we know that grace is a free gift, and are we going to live, or are we going to turn it around and just make a license of these sins and say, oh, it's okay. It's okay that I do sin daily all the time and I'm defeated all the time, that I just have to make it okay because God's grace is big and it's good. Well, he says, God forbid on that one. You can't make a license for your sin. You've got to find a way of deliverance for your sin, not a license, not just excusing it and making yourself okay and justifying yourself again. I'm telling you, that's the plight, our plight. We're continually trying to justify it. No, we don't justify it. We see that it's been put on the cross. How? Well, let's see what the next verse says. God forbid, God forbid. This is a lie. Just to make it okay is a lie. You've got to see what happened at the cross. What did happen at the cross? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Oh my goodness, we are dead to sin. We are actually dead. What did we say sin was? Because sin is personified in Romans 5 through 8. Sin is a noun. Sins is the verb. So sin is a noun. It's talking about a person. And I read you what Bullinger said. And now from another source, I'm going to read what this man's interpretation is. And I'm going to read these scriptures in Romans 5:21. It shows us that sin is a person that reigns in us like a king. And in Romans 6:14, it says that it's a person who has power over us and lords over us. In 17:11, sin is seen as a deceiver. Well, a deceiver is a person, and trying to get me to do good works by self effort, and which will eventually kill me. And in verse 7:17, it's also seen as a person. Sin is seen as a person. It's Satan who can dwell in people and do things against their will, because in Romans 7 he's doing the things he doesn't want to do. Okay, in Romans 7:9, it says that sin is quite alive as a person, exceedingly active, so it must be an evil spirit of Satan, the evil one, dwelling, acting, working in fallen flesh. That is true. That is the truth. Now, you know the whole point of why Satan has to be uncovered as the evil culprit that's really doing the sinning in us? Because we Christians blame ourselves. We Christians think it's our flesh. We Christians think that it's our vessel, that it's our flesh that's evil. And you continually have to war and fight against your own flesh to try to improve it to be a better person. That's why we've got to see that it's Satan. And that's why we've got to see that we've been delivered from that nature. That has no power over us, because through the body death, we have been delivered from the satanic nature and set free with the indwelling divine nature of Jesus Christ living inside of us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That's getting me excited. So, how does sin get power over us? Sin gets power over us simply because we don't know that we are dead. And, subsequently, we are trying to live our own lives, trying to improve ourselves through self-effort. Now, the Bible says we're dead to sin. He has no more indwelling presence within us. But he has a way that he can still deceive us, and we're going to go through Romans 7 to see how he deceives us. But he is not in our spirit. He is deceiving us as flesh, because we've always thought of us as independent. That's who he is Mr. Independence. And so he deceives us through that and makes us think that we can have our own power, have our own nature. And the human being does not have a nature of its own. He's indwelt by another one that indwells us. And we saw that through the fall, that it was Satan indwelling us before we were saved, and now it's Christ indwelling us. And we derive our nature from the spirit that lives inside of us. We do not, but the human being in and of itself has no nature of its own. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there because that's too profound and too great. Just savor that wonderful truth that the human being has no nature of its own. Thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and that he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.